Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, this show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight it's my pleasure to welcome Rico Rakowski, whether at the controls of an F-16 jet fighter or now at the controls of a sophisticated jet airliner, Rico knows that every flight choice he makes is based on one of two choices. He may make multiple split-second decisions as he evaluates the instruments in front of him that show the aircraft's immediate performance of speed, altitude, and navigation. Yet each choice he makes ultimately comes down to a yes or no input decision based on just two choices. Choice is the heart of his unique and vital new book, Just Two Choices. It is your life. This is the forefront of what promises to be a global movement, the Choice Revolution. The book uses a simple step-by-step system of thought that shows people how to instantly transform their daily ordinary choices into those powerful, extraordinary choices that create an extraordinary life. And so let me welcome Rico. Rico, once again, how are you today?
Doing fabulous, David. Thank you so much for the opportunity to chat about spiritual topics and talk about choice. I'm excited. Thank you.
Well, I am too. And I can imagine that most of the time when you're asked how you answer in a similar fashion.
Yes. Well, there's just two choices. I can either say, or try to feel something less, or I can reach for the, like you talk about, reach for the next level. And so I choose to reach for the next level.
And I would also imagine that you're a man that tells it like it is. And mm-hmm. So how is it that you are able to answer fabulous most of the time?
I've really come to understand that life really is just two choices, and at every moment, because the only, as you know, I mean, we all know that on the spiritual topic that, the only time we have is right now. We don't have 5 seconds from now. We can't make a choice 5 seconds from now. We can't jump into the future, and we can't jump into the past. We can drag ourselves in the past, but we can't go back to the past and make a choice. The only place we can make a choice is right here and right now. And so I look at every choice as a choice investment. It's an investment of energy. Where am I going to make that energy flow? And so even if things are challenging for me, I choose to make the energy flow in the positive direction, even if it's just an incrementally somewhat better energy flow than the difficult situation I'm in, because I have just two choices. What's the other choice? To take it into the ditch, and I'm not going to do that, because if I make the choice to take it into the ditch, then it's my choice, and I have to own that choice. And so that's how I see just two choices. It's right here, right now, in every person's life, and that's what I'm trying to do with the book, is to raise people's awareness to that. So
that makes sense to me. I guess the question I would have for you is, what happens if you suddenly find yourself in a ditch? How do you dig your way out of it?
I have three techniques that I use every single day. And if it's really a difficult time that I find myself in a ditch, so to speak, the first phrase is, I choose to. Now, you'll notice I'm going to give you all three phrases, and they all start with choice, because it's important that we realize that choice is what activates everything in life. You know, this idea of take positive action and, get motivated and all that stuff, the thing that's missing is, you're not aware of the fact that we have to make a choice to get motivated. We have to make a choice to take positive action. And sometimes in the past, right, in the self-help movement, we've made other, you know, we do things like fire walks and swim with sharks to help us prove that we can do something, when really it's just a choice. So the three phrases I use are, I choose to, I choose to tell my new story, and I choose to appreciate. And so the second one is, to answer your question, David, the second one is the one I use, is I choose to tell my new story. If I got a challenge going on right now, it's typically a common subject, probably something I've had happen before, and I say, I choose to tell my new story that this is going to work out. I choose to tell my new story that I'm going to find a solution. I choose to tell my new story that I'm going to find a piece of information that's going to help me turn this into something that's even better than I thought it was. Now, people have said to me that they think, well, that can be Pollyanna and BS and unrealistic. And I say, well, what's your other choice? Because the only place you can make a choice is right here, right now. So if you choose to go back and tell your old story that it's not going to work out, then we'll have this discussion a week from now, and you shouldn't be surprised that it didn't work out for you.
I've got a question. I like that very much. I once heard it said that you can actually rewrite your story. I mean, it's true that you can't go back and relive the past, but you can reframe it in a way that's more positive, mm-hmm, can't you?
Well, sure. That's called Kevin. That's my second one. And that's why I feel that by saying the phrase, and you can use the phrase, it's a phrase you can use for the rest of your life. I choose to tell my new story. I choose to tell my new story because life really, it is. It's just a story, and it's a story of our preference, our choices of preferences of how we choose to look at life. I grew up in an alcoholic family, and I know all about going into the ditch. I know about those kinds of things, and taught me lots of fabulous things, and there are a lot of challenges. It's just I'm not in the ditch with that stuff. Why? Because I choose not to be. You know, I choose to tell my new story. I choose to tell my new story. How about the lessons that I learned, how it's taken me to writing books. It took me to reaching out to kids and helping kids make positive choices. So you're always in that place of writing that new story. We're always into that place. We always have the choice to write that new story or not, to write it in a new and better fashion, to tell that new story. And if I can add one other thing, David, the other thing I'd like to add is that the cool thing is that when you tell your new story, it never ends. Because let's just say your new story is, man, I really want to have some kind of this, you know, some kind of car, SUV, we'll call it for now. And you tell that new story. I'm gonna find that at the right price. I'm gonna find it with the right deal. I'm gonna find it just at the right time. And you get that new SUV. Well, guess what? Well, there's a new story. There's still another new story. It's not the end of that story. It's the next new story is, man, I look forward to all the places I'm gonna travel in this new SUV. And then you start going to a couple of places. I look forward to the new story of all the people I'm gonna meet when I travel to these new places. So your new story never ends, and it's something you can, if you tell it for the rest of your life, you'll never get into the mire and the muck of the old stuff, and I'm very familiar with it. I'm not going back to that mire and muck because I choose not to. I choose to move into the new space. I choose to continue to tell my new story, and you shouldn't be surprised that your new story appears, because your energy can only go one of two places, just two choices.
It sounds like what we need to do is let go of the past and live in the moment and look forward to the next moment, each next moment as it occurs, and live in that and keep going forward. I once had a life coach call me on something. I always thought that challenge was a positive word. And he said challenge implies problem. And every seeming problem or challenge is simply a learning opportunity. And so he said that he calls them learning opportunities. But, you know, I think most people can't really relate to that. It requires a lot of explanation.
Right.
But I gathered what he was talking about. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree with it. I mean, I can see that the word challenge is an easier word to relate to. It's just when you get to the space where you're at, David, and other people are at on the positive in the positive choice movement, what happens is you find yourself moving into a whole other space. You don't look at challenge as being, you look at challenge as being a different kind of energy. And so you do look, you have just two choices. You know, what, finish the sentence. Beauty is in the eye of
the beholder.
Right. And so, challenge is in the eye of the beholder. Challenge or new, you know, or seeing it from a new perspective is in the eye of the beholder. And so, the longer that we continue to, and this is why all you need to know is the phrase, I choose to tell my new story. You know, don't say I choose to let go. This is another parallel example to that. Rather than say I choose to let go, say I choose to tell my new story. Because when you say let go, that means you're still holding on to whatever it is that you have to be able to identify with that you let go of. So me and my alcoholic family situation growing up, of which I'm not bashing any bit of it. I mean, I had it was just turned out to be one of the greatest gifts in my life. And so it's one of those things where I don't say I choose to let go of my growing up situation. No, I choose to look for the opportunities that is presented to me. You know, because every choice is a choice opportunity. Just like every choice is an investment of energy. And it's going to go one way or the other. So everything's a choice investment. Everything's a choice opportunity. You can look at, but beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So if you choose not to see that, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And I think that summarizes up just two choices. If somebody does not want to see a new story, if somebody wants to continue to tell their old story and to live that, there's nothing that any of us can do to get inside their heads to get them to make that other choice. It's something that at the very end they have to choose to on their own. And that's as far as anybody can take anybody. It's right up to that choice point, you know. And
yeah.
And it's up to them. We have to let them ride their choices. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right. No. I was thinking about your background as you described it. I come from an addiction background. It was not apparent in my family. It was back a few generations, but I fell into the trap myself, so to speak.
Sure.
And I developed a number of addictions and have been in recovery for about 30 years now. But I think that, no, thank you. It was hell going through it. But that's because I didn't have tools in those days.
Right.
I didn't know how to think positively. And
right.
I now affirm that everything that's happened in my life, whether I have judged it as good or bad, and there is no good or bad when it comes to life,
mm-hmm.
it's all good.
Right, right.
It simply was part of my story of making me the person I am today, and so I embrace it all. I cherish it all. You know, and I bless it all. You know.
Yeah. I'm with you 100%. I'm with you, and I like what you said. I think that's probably when you realize you're in those kinds of situations. And I'm the same way. I didn't have the tools. This idea of dreams plus action equals reality was something that I came up with on my own. I mean, what I mean by that is I was trying to. This is all positive. I didn't have a lot of support, not from my family, but in school in general, for my dream or goal of becoming a pilot. And, you know, the guidance counselor said to me as I left, and I was not upset by this at all, and I want everybody to understand that I was not upset by this. The guidance counselor said, Mr. Rakowski, you need to go to a junior college. You're not four-year material, and you're not going to be a pilot. And I turned, and I looked at her very politely, and I acknowledged it, and I walked out. And I walked out, and again, I want people to understand, I was not angry. I had a discovery. The discovery was what I call a just two choices moment. I can say that now. In that moment, I said, do I believe her or do I believe me? Right?
Mm.
So I said, as I walked out of there, I remember saying to myself, again, I was not angry whatsoever. I went, you know what? That doesn't sound right. I'm going to still go for it anyway. And after I was able to work it out, I did not do this to prove anything to the guidance counselor. I became and followed through to become a pilot, which was a lot of work for me. I got through with that because it was my choice of what I wanted to do with my life. And so I got to thinking, you know, maybe there are kids out there who are being told similar things, but it didn't work out for them. I'm blessed. It worked out. I was finally able to make it become a reality. And so that formula came to mind. Have a way to explain it to me about how I made my dream come true. Dreams plus action, consistent action, positive action creates a positive reality. Dreams plus consistent negative action creates a negative reality. And so I started teaching that at high schools and quickly learned that the elementary school kids were ready for that. And so for 15 years, I taught dreams plus action equals reality to the elementary school kids. But if I could add one last thing, David, it is just what you talked about before, that's where the gift is. I can look an elementary school kid in the eye, I can look anybody in the eye and say, you got to believe in your dream, because you know why? I know what it was like to have been in that moment when somebody who had influence didn't believe that I could do something, and I had to make the choice for myself. And you can make that choice for yourself too. So that's the gift, you know, helping the kids.
It sounds like it's taking the law of attraction to the next level.
No.
Does that make sense?
Well, it does. I have to confess that I'm a fan of Jerry Nestor Hicks and Abraham.
Oh,
Lincoln.
I am.
So
big time,
yeah.
Big time fan
yeah.
of them. Learned so much
and,
from them.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, you know, that's where a lot of it's in the Just Two Choices book, more so in the original book that came out in 2009. It had a lot more discussion about the emotional vibrational color scale, which had to do with vibration, which between 2009 and 2015, I noticed that a lot of people really weren't familiar with this idea of choice and just two choices. And I'd taken it, you know, as a pilot, too, everything's just two choices. You either take off or you don't. The engine's either working right or it's not. You know, the switch, you turn it on to turn on a piece of equipment, it either works properly or it doesn't, you know. And so you live in this just two choices environment, so you get it probably a little bit more than saturated with it than other environments. But my point being that I found that this idea of choice was something that had to be, that was important to be explained in much more detail that I didn't do first in the 2009 edition. And I spent more time on explaining how everything is a choice of vibration. And so you have just two choices of vibration. You choose a high vibe or you choose a low vibe. But because that's what activates that choice of vibration, speaking law of attraction, that's what activates our conversation that we're having today on a high vibe level, right? Where it's activated at a high vibe level because we're choosing that law of attraction vibrational aspect. And we know that. But imagine if the planet knew that, you know, wouldn't that be kind of fun?
Yeah.
Everybody consciously choose and say, man, I want to have a high vibe interaction. Or they're angry and they're frustrated or they're blaming somebody else for it. And they're going like, you go, why? You know, what did Abraham used to say? So you stick a fork in the toaster and you're surprised, you know?
Yeah, right.
which would be the lower vibration. So you stick the fork in the toaster, you know?
Yeah, what a vibration that would be. Woof.
Yeah, when you're talking about how you meet up with somebody and you get into a fight with, you know, get angry with somebody and you lock horns with them in this anger. It's like sticking a fork in the toaster. Would you do that? No. Well, why do you do that? In relationships, you know? So Abraham always said she has great ways of teaching, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk for a minute about emotions and what we can do.
Sure.
How we can use choice to navigate our way through emotions. Because, I mean, that's part of being human. We do experience things like anger and grief and things that have a negative vibration to them.
But I agree with you. My experience, I'm talking about Rico's experience, and this, other people can disagree with me if they choose to, that's fine. My experience has been a lot of that is habit. And let's take what I don't call it road rage, but we'll take that topic for 100, please, Alex. We'll take road drama for 100. I used to get upset with people. I would never flash them the international peace sign or any of those other kinds of things, but I would be in the car cussing, you know, saying some choice words, you know, when I got cut off in traffic. And I said, and so that's that denser anger vibration. I said, I don't want to do this anymore. Am I going to be captive? Am I going to be a prisoner? Am I going to allow this drama that I have created as a habit to run my life, or am I in charge of it? I'm in charge of it. I'm the one who consciously makes the choices. And so over the years, I've learned to get to the point where when somebody cuts me off, after you get over the initial shock of how close it was sometimes, I just let it roll. I just let it go. And so that's, to me, one of the more common emotions that we run into. So the question really comes down to, in my mind, to answer your question, is a lot of these emotions we have as habits. They're habitual reactions that we've had to perhaps growing challenging, you know, or our growing up situations, and we've carried them over into adulthood. And so we shouldn't be surprised that we run into a lot of people who have those kinds of things, because law of attraction says that if you have and continue to choose to have anger and those kinds of things, you're going to run into people who aren't happy. And so it shouldn't be a surprise. And so I believe that you have a choice. Every choice is simultaneously a choice of vibration, which to me is a higher, you know, is the next level of people understanding. There's not just two choices, but there's also choice of vibration. Did that help answer the question or
yes,
what you were thinking?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it did. Let's talk for a moment about awareness, because you need to have awareness to stay in a place where you make choices.
I choose to have new awareness. I choose to have new awareness about my choices. There's the I choose to phrase again. That's how I would start it off.
Yeah.
I'd make I would make it a habit to say that. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, what I'm saying is that we need to remain aware, or else we can get into some of the subconscious crap that takes us back to ways that we're trying to leave behind.
Oh, it provides contrast, huh?
Yeah,
that's
right.
I've
been getting a lot of contrast this winter. The contrast is delicious. It was 70 in February, and then it was zero a week ago, and we got 2.5 feet of snow 3 days ago.
Well, there you go. There
the
you
contrast
go.
Is delicious.
Yeah. And so that's how I would approach it. You know, you're absolutely, you're 100% aware. And, you know, if there is a choice awareness tool that's in our, you know, that's in our toolbox as human beings, you know, we have to activate that choice awareness, you know. And so I would say I choose to be more aware, because I choose to tell my new story about how much more aware every single day, you know, I'm aware of my choices. I'm aware of the emotions that I'm choosing. You know, and then it would expand into from just a general statement to, I choose to just this morning to 5 times be aware of my choices of how I feel, you know, a high vibe or not so high vibe. And then, you know, after lunch, I choose 4 or 5 times. And in the evening, I choose 4 times. And pretty soon, then that becomes your new normal, you know, it becomes your new habit, because that's how habits are built, right? They're built choice by choice by choice. And so now you can
have
awareness. Yeah. So that's
it sounds like you use a lot of affirmation as a tool too.
And with the phrase "I choose to," not just saying "I choose."
Yeah.
Right, because choice is what closes the gap. Choice is like if you picture, you know, a telegraph. Remember those guys who used to hit you'd see on TV in the old movies, they hit the telegraph, you know, sending Morse code. Well, if they don't push that switch, if they don't push that switch down, they don't get a dad or a dot or a dash, right? If that switch is open and it never touches the contact point, like you're watching in those old movies, you don't get that da-da-da-da, dash stuff, right? And so that's what choice is. Choice is that activating that switch that closes the circuit that brings about the affirmation. And so you can take that to another level when you say, I choose to say this affirmation, or whatever the affirmation is. I choose to. And you can feel the connection. I like to say you can feel the choice flowing through you. Just take something from Star Wars. You can. You can feel the choice flowing through you because it's activating energy. And then that becomes your new normal. The exciting part is that's your new normal. And then you start to play with it, you know, like Abraham talks about. Like, let's just play with this and see where it goes. Let's just walk into the post office and choose to be high vibe in spite of what's going on around us and watch how everybody moves, you know. And that's what I like about my job with the airlines. It's I get to play with this I choose to kind of energy all the time with hundreds of people throughout the day when you're going through an airport. You know, it's a very good learning experience.
I'm sure.
So
everybody
I
wants
that.
Happiness. Yeah, it does. I just was going to move on a little bit. Staying on the subject of positive vibrations, everybody wants happiness, and you talk about happiness as a choice as opposed to a thing. Would you talk about that?
Yes, I think that's a habit that we've gotten into thinking, you know, and it's common in human society. You know, we say when I get to a certain point, you know, I graduate from high school, I'll be done with this mess or whatever, you know, however we looked at high school, you know. When I graduate from college, I'll finally get out into the real world, you know. And so we have this mantra that we've learned in general as a human consciousness that is when. And when. And I say, just choose it now. I choose to be happy now. I mean, you don't have to, I choose to not have a reason to have to be happy for. You see, because basically happiness is associated in general with an end result. When I get a boat, when I get a car, when I reach a certain something or another, you know, a certain level of something. But there is no, I mean, unless you choose to have a reason to be happy, the other choice is I choose to be happy without a reason, right? Just two choices. I choose to be happy just for the sake of being happy. It's a choice. And somebody can say, well, that's Pollyanna. That's not right. And I'll say, well, that doesn't work for you because you choose not to have it work for you, which is okay with me. I choose to be happy regardless, and it's okay with me. And it's not that I don't get punched in the gut from time to time. It's just that I know that when I get, when I have these kinds of things happen, I know what my next choice is going to be. Not to take myself, I choose not to go into the ditch, because I think I like what you, I like the word you used, David, earlier, which was with it associates with all of our recoveries, whether it's relationship recoveries or it's addiction recoveries or it's, you know, getting out of financial debt. You know, it's about having tools. It's about having practical tools that we can apply easily and we can apply every single day, and there so that we can make, so we can get some traction to turn things in that positive direction. That's how I feel about it. I choose to feel about it.
So I like that. Well, you know, people tend to attach conditions to happiness, and I don't know if that's human nature too or not, but that's a type of addiction, if you will, because you think that something is going to make you feel such and such a way, and the only true way that you feel comes from within inside you. And,
You know,
we're attracted to people, places, and things and think that they can make us happy. It's not true, because they'll disappoint us at some point, unless we choose.
I agree with you. And, you know, it's fascinating. What you just brought up another thought here, too, if I can add to it, is that our language doesn't support use of the word choice, because choice, everything's choice. You know, everything's choosing something. I mean, a tree is a tree because it's choosing to be an oak tree and not be a maple tree. I mean, there's some kind of choice, talking spiritually, being made at some level that we're not aware of. A tree isn't a brick. You know, there's things being done, you know, and that's why there's 117 elements, distinct elements, because there's something distinct about each one of those. But there's a choice being made, and my point being that because everything's a choice, we usually haven't been using the word choice in our language. And you said people tend to attach conditions, you know, to being happy. And there's and I'm this is something that I do too. I skip over. It's really people tend to choose to attach conditions. They had to make the choice. Before the condition can ever be attached, they have to energize that attachment by choice. And so myself included, you know, have been unaware that it was a choice that activates that attachment. It just doesn't happen. It happens because there's a choice made, and at first it's perhaps unconscious. But later on, like you talked about earlier, when we raise our awareness, it becomes a conscious choice. And that's when the fun begins, because you go, wow, there's so many fabulous things I can choose to create in my life. This is going to be wildly good, where I can choose to. I mean, really, it's just a choice. I'm not trying to tackle any difficult situation. When you look at it, it comes down to every choice. Choice knows no gender, choice knows no race, choice knows no culture, choice knows no nothing. It doesn't know whether you're a brick, it doesn't know whether you're a tree. Choice just knows activate energy to be consistent with whatever I'm supposed to activate it for. And if you tell my old story, then choice, you know, like Abraham says, you know, the source is indifferent. You tell source how you want to direct the energy. I mean, we're so free, we can create prisons for ourselves. We can create bondage with our thoughts, right? Until we choose another thought, until we choose to be free, until we choose to be free birds, you know, that's how powerful beings we are spiritually. And I think that's what the divineness has brought us here to learn how to find out, is that, you know, it's us who have those choices that activate that energy and let us do something fabulous with it.
I believe you're right.
Yeah.
How does your choice philosophy level the playing field for everybody in life?
Well, it goes back to what I think, which I love what you have in the beginning of your show. You know, you talk about how, you know, your show opens the door to common ground, right? To take things to the next level. What's common ground for everybody on the planet? Every person on the planet has to make choices. It doesn't matter, rich or poor, ability to walk, in a wheelchair. It doesn't matter what their gender is, what their culture is. You know, somebody asked me one time, can you tailor this, can you tailor your just two choices to, you know, a particular gender? And I said, sure, I can do that. But the rest of the thought was, because I hadn't thought of it before, you know, I would ask if I could pertain it to women. And I said, sure, I'd be happy to. But the rest of the thought that crossed my mind was, I hadn't thought of it until she asked the question, Choice knows no gender. Choice just knows choice. It's us who put the adjective to what that choice is. We're the ones who qualify the energy. If the choice is, activates whatever and however we qualify it is our choice. We can qualify because it's our choice of preference, as I see it anyway. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I totally agree. I couldn't agree more. I wanted to ask you what you think is the difference, if any, between choice and intention.
I think intention is the result of choice. I choose to intend to do something. That's like take positive action. You know, based on Dale Carnegie, Napoleon Hill, you know, what I call that the trinity of the self-help how-to movement. You know, Napoleon Hill, Dale Carnegie, and Norman Vincent Peale. Those guys, and there are others, Emmett Fox and others, you know, who built this foundation that turned into, for the past 80 years, the self-help how-to movement to do things. You know, that what was missing, not missing, but the part that was the next level of play is choice, because they taught positive action. There's still a gap there. What is that gap? To me, the gap is knowing that it's a choice to take positive action. You don't have to go out and do a fire walk to motivate yourself to take positive action. You don't have to go swim with sharks. You don't have to do anything extreme. You can, in the comfort of your own brain, sitting where you are, I choose to have a fabulous life. I choose right now to make it happen. I choose to find a new partner. I choose to find a better relationship. I choose to find the book I need to read. And as Abraham says, you know, you can't have a happy ending to a sad story unless you make happy choices, right?
Right.
Abraham has lots of those great sayings, like, you know, you can't have a happy ending if you keep telling the same old sad story. You got to tell a story. You got to tell the happy ending. You know, you got to tell the happy stuff. But that's a choice to tell it. And I think that's what's kind of missing. We've been missing that word. And it's just time to raise awareness about that. That's, to me, what connects everything.
When and how did you have your epiphany that there are just two choices and forming that life philosophy?
Well, you know, like I said, it's a combination of a lot of things. I was originally going to art school, and I wanted to be a pilot, and I wanted to go to art school. My backup position was to go to art school and do graphic design. And fortunately, you know, at the last minute, I was on my way to art school, and the Air Force called, and they had a flight slot, and so I was able to get into flight school and go to flight school. But the one thing about both those careers, both those careers are, they're visual, right? Pilot, you got to be able to see. And the instruments, there's no words on your instruments. Whether you're flying through a thunderstorm or the worst snowstorm possible, you're trying to land in Boston or LaGuardia in heavy rain or whatever, you're watching your instruments, and there's no words there. It's just all visual representation of exactly what the airplane's doing right in front of you, you know. And so what happened was, when they had this Dream Plus Action Equals Reality formula come out, I started working with elementary school kids, and they don't have a lot of words in their vocabulary, right? You can't give them the PowerPoint presentation you give to adults. You had to give them visuals. So I created this Dreams Plus Action Equals Reality. I presented it in a visual format, and I kept saying to the kids for over 15 years, you know, I'd say, every choice of action takes you, then take you closer to what you want or further away from what you want. There are just two choices. You know, blah, 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 blah. There are just two choices. Blah, 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 blah. There are just two choices. And I create visuals around this Dreams Plus Action Equals Reality and just two choices. And finally, the light turned on. I remember one day I was just standing there, you know, in front of some fourth and fifth graders, and I went, you know, that sounds like a book for adults, because there are just two choices, you know. And from there, it started to expand. But I have to give credit to working with elementary school kids for the birth of the idea, because, you know, it's just so much fun working with them and teaching them a visual format. It's not C-H-O-I-C-E as a word that's in a book among thousands of words on two pages. It's a visual, because that's how they don't have the language skills at that particular age to be able to accommodate the concept. So you give them the visual. And that's why the visual's in the adult book, too, is it works for kids. Why shouldn't it work for adults? You know?
Right. Well, I have a lot more questions for you, but let me give you the opportunity to talk about your other three books, because in the information that was put out on the Internet, it just focuses on the just two choices. Would you like to talk about the children's books for a moment?
Oh, I'd be honored to. The first book that came out was, I call it D plus A equals R, and it represented Dreams Plus Action Equals Reality, because I really wasn't sure if people were going to embrace the word reality, you know, that book came out a long time ago, 20 years ago, and it was like dreams. So I call it D plus A equals R. And then as I started to, I worked with high school kids for that first book, and my background's not in education. This is just strictly in education. It's just strictly in aviation and in management kind of stuff. And so when I found out that elementary school kids was really the place where it's at, those kids just really on fire to talk about their dreams and goals, I expanded it into the full dreams plus action equals reality. And so there's a book out that's an elementary school book of dreams plus action equals reality that talks about sequentially, you know, how to build and make positive choices of action in your life. And then the other one, Go Vertical, Life Has No Ceiling. The F-16 is a great airplane, and it can actually, in a lightweight condition, can accelerate going straight up. And so that was the inspiration for the Go Vertical, Life Has No Ceiling situation, a title for that book, because I wanted to write something for the 100th anniversary of flight in 2003 in honor of the Wright brothers. And I said, let me show kids how the Wright brothers used dreams plus action equals reality to invent the airplane, even though they didn't graduate from high school. And every chapter was a chapter that incorporated some aspect of their dream and how they chose to take positive action to eventually change the world with their invention. And my point being to the kids throughout the story is, imagine now what you can do today with the internet and the library and all the access that you have and all the tools that you have access to, Home Depot, Lowe's, you know, craft shops, automobiles, all these things that they didn't have. Imagine what you could do with your dream when these guys didn't even have that available to them, but they used the dreams plus action equals reality to go vertical in life, because there is no ceiling to life unless you choose, just two choices, you choose to have a ceiling. So those are the other, that's what those other books are about.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad that
you
talked before the show. What's that?
Oh, no, thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm honored
asked
me to be a guest on the show. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Okay.
It's an honor and privilege.
Okay. Well, it is my pleasure as well. Let's talk about some practical techniques that people who are listening can use to apply choice to improve the quality of their lives.
If you have a you know, pen and paper, a piece of paper there and something to write with, just write these three phrases down, use them for the rest of your life, and I think you're going to – or, you know, if you even started using them just tonight and for one day, I think you'd find your life, you're going to go, wow, there's so many more possibilities here than I've been seeing. Okay, so the first phrase, they all start with I choose to. So, you know, I choose to. I use that phrase a lot of times in the morning because when you get up sometimes, you know, you kind of get overwhelmed with what's going to happen during the day. Oh, I got that to do. I got this to do. Oh, I forgot to do that email or, you know, catch up on such and such. And so I say I choose to because I choose to find how I'm going to make all this work out. Notice I'm not talking about being overwhelmed, because typically what happens in our days is when we wake up, we can be overwhelmed by all that we have to do. And by saying I choose to as a lead-in, you start to break it down into, okay, I choose to be able to put this into bite-sized pieces. I choose to make all this work out. I choose to find a solution. And so it's just kind of a way of, if you feel a little bit overwhelmed in the morning, I find to kind of settle things down, okay? The next phrase is, I choose to tell my new story, which we talked about. So for me, technology right now, as I transition into learning about, you know, a lot of the newer technologies and stuff, you run into some of those glitches from time to time where you misinterpreted something or some download doesn't work well. And, you know, and of course, it only happens at the worst possible time. And so rather than going back into my old story of throwing my hands up in the air and being frustrated and saying, I don't know how I'm ever going to get through this, I say I choose to tell my new story. I choose to tell my new story how I'm going to find somebody who's going to be able to give me this solution. I choose to tell my new story of how I know the answer's out there, and later today I'm going to go, I have a Mac, I'm going to go up to the Apple store and somebody at the Genius Bar is going to help me to find a solution to this. And lo and behold, you know, those are the things I use when I choose to tell my new story. It can be used for any subject. It could be a relationship. It could be financial situation that you're having. It can be health situation. I choose to tell my new story about my health, about drinking more water, about getting a little bit more exercise. You know, you can just pick any subject it applies to. And then as long as you continue to choose to tell your new story, not go back and choose to tell your old story. And then the last one is I choose to appreciate. That raises your awareness about just, you know, there really are a lot of wonderful, divine things going on in our lives day in and day out that we're so busy at the speed of heat, you know, with our lives a lot of times that we miss those things to appreciate. You know, like I choose to appreciate, yeah, we got 2 feet of snow. I'll tell you what, I choose to appreciate how quiet it is when you get 2 feet of snow. It deadens the sound in the city. You know, it's once I personally grew up in Pennsylvania around Pittsburgh. I live in Colorado, but I don't mind shoveling snow overall. You know, and I go out there and I use that snow time and the quiet is my time to center and to appreciate the beauty of snow, the beauty of winter, the beauty of being able to feel the cold. I choose to appreciate what my spouse did for me or my significant other did for me, even if it's something small. You know, I choose to appreciate that at the end of my day, I'm going to be able to just sit down and just relax, you know, just find something, anything. And Abraham talks a lot about that, you know, about appreciating. So the appreciation is like a universal lubricant that allows energy to flow smoothly in your life. Even if it's a situation where somebody has created some difficulty in your life, I choose to appreciate, as Abraham would talk about, I choose to appreciate they're showing me where I don't want to go. They're showing me a path that I do not want to be on. And so I choose to move to another path. I choose to appreciate that. And I think with those three phrases, I choose to tell my new story, and I choose to appreciate, it covers all the bases for anything that can happen in your life at any particular time to help you stay aligned and vibrationally aligned. And sometimes that alignment falls off, as we know, but it helps you get back into vibrational alignment a lot sooner rather than later. I just talked to somebody recently who had something, they forgot all about these tools, and they spent a whole day vibrationally not aligned, and the light finally turned on to them. They went, wow, I spent an entire day when I could have saved myself, 7 or 8 hours of being in a higher vibe and a better vibration. And so that's what those skills will help you to do, is to, you'll still have them, but you'll only be in them for minutes. You won't be in them for hours. Because remember, the only thing we can't get back in life is time, right? Time's the only thing that just, we can't get any of that time back. So imagine if you could, the equivalent of FedEx, David, the equivalent of FedEx, if you could FedEx yourself some time, you know, 7.5 hours worth of time by not being into an old, choosing to go back into an old vibration for more than a half hour of something that really is misaligning, and you could recover 7.5 hours of happiness. Imagine that. And then you do it every day. So at the end of 7 days, you have maybe 60 hours of happiness that before used to be 60 hours of anger. You know, look at what you're recovering. You're recovering less stress with the happiness. You're recovering perhaps better eating habits. You're recovering healthier relationship interactions. I mean, this is powerful, you know, in terms of just the impact of being able to make those choices sooner, to bring that alignment back around sooner, what it can do for our lives. So I just find it just exciting to talk about and to think about.
Well, can you talk, well, would you be willing to talk a little bit about the step-by-step system that you use in your book and
sure.
Just describe that a little bit for the moment?
Yeah. What happens is the book's broken down into three basic sections. And first of all, in the first section of part one of the book, I talk about the simplicity of choice, just getting started. You know, chapter one talks about how there's magic in learning how to see just two choices everywhere. And now it's going to sound too simple, yet it's what builds your awareness. You know, a credit card is just two choices, right? It's either approved or it's not, correct? When you go to Vegas, you go to Vegas, it's either going to be win or lose at the gambling tables, right? You're not going to – there's no break even with the house. You know, it's either win or lose. Sports are all about just two choices. You're in bounds, you're out of bounds. There's never, I don't think they gave Super Bowl rings to two teams this year. I think it went to just New England, you know, if last I recall. And they didn't, and I think the Cubs had a just two choices situation, and the Cubs won. So, you know, everything, so it gets you to see that just two choices are everywhere. You either had your coffee today or you didn't. You either had your shower or you didn't. You either brushed your teeth or you didn't. Just two choices. And it goes through, that first section has four chapters that go through four different simple ways to raise awareness about choice. So that's the foundational part. You start to see choice everywhere. The next one talks, now that you know what choice is out there, now it's about mastering those choices, which is when, what is mastery of choice? Mastery of choice is habits. Good habits or bad habits, both of them are mastery. You master the things you don't like. You do it really, really well. We're really good about, I mean, really, when you think about it, mastery is, if mastery doesn't know good or bad, mastery is.
That's right.
You know, some people are, if you want to find somebody who can complain and whine about something, all of us know somebody that we could call like right now, and you'd say, man, they are like the world champions of whining and complaining. Well, why? It's because they choose to do it all the time. If they could make a different choice to create a different habit, but they don't. And I'm not judging that. I'm just saying our habits are the autopilot that we work on all the time. And so the second part of the book talks about how you master those choices and how to stay with making those positive choices on a regular basis, so you take those habits that weren't as beneficial to you and you're able to create new and better habits. I don't believe in breaking a new habit. I think by spending your time and saying, I choose to break that habit, you're just giving that habit more energy. When you tell, when you say, I choose to tell my new story to create my new habit of health improvement or wealth improvement or relationship improvement, that the causes of why they weren't working before will reveal themselves, because we're giving our attention to, and what does Abraham talk about? Always. Only give your attention to what you want. That's just two choices, right? And it just that, that's the whole summary of Abraham's teaching. Give your attention to what you want. And you shouldn't be surprised if you give your attention to what you don't want, that you have what you don't want appear in your life. What happens to a lot of us in humanity is we're conditioned to think that when we give our attention to what we don't want, that's what's going to solve the problem or the challenge. You know, no. Give your attention only to what you want. I mean, isn't that Abraham's premise? Only
yes,
give your attention
is.
To what you want? It is. Just two choices, right?
Right.
You give your attention to what you want. What you don't want can't even appear. Why? Because you're not even energizing it. You don't even give it any energy. It has to die. It's like not watering the plant anymore, right? You're not feeding it any energy. And so that's what the second part of the book's about. And the third part about talks about the expansion of the freedom of choice. You know, set yourself free or not by conscious choice. So now that you know about these choices, we can all choose to stay in the places that we're at or not. We can choose to grow and to expand, like moving up the spiral, or not. That choice is theirs. And so those, again, there's no judgment about any of the choice anybody makes. If you're looking at improving your life and taking it to a new and higher level, then you have to make new and higher level choices. And if you're looking at staying where you are, then just continue to make stay where you are choices, and you will be where you are, and you stay where you are. It's just that if you're frustrated about where you are because you're not where you want to be, but you haven't made a new choice, going back to what we talked about earlier with Abraham, you know, it's you can't have a happy ending if you keep telling an unhappy story. You have to tell a happy story to have a happy ending to that story. And again, it comes down to this one phrase, in my opinion. Yeah, all of life comes down to this one phrase. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. That's it. You know, that's the most we can do for any of us, is we can be there right next to each other, holding somebody's hand, saying, here's how to do this. And if they don't make that choice, we can't climb inside your body and do it. You know, Yoda has a really good comment once. Luke Skywalker asked Yoda, said, is the dark side stronger? And Yoda said, no, it's quicker, easier, more seductive. What Yoda was saying is, those are your habits. It's quicker, easier, it's more seductive to stay into the not eating healthy habit. It's quicker, it's easier, it's more seductive to stay in the my finances aren't working out habit. It's quicker, it's easier, it's more seductive to stay in the this relationship isn't doing well, but I'm going to stay in the relationship habit. It's a habit. It takes effort to make that other choice. And until we make that other choice, we don't create that new habit. And so that's why we continue to do what we do. It's just quicker and easier. And the more seductive part in my thought process is it pulls you in. Oh man, I can just have that hot fudge sundae tonight. You know, I'm going past the ice cream in the grocery store. Yeah, I can do that. It's seductive. I mean, I'm talking about foods I like here, David. You know, I'm going past the potato chip aisle. I want to make a right turn in the potato chip aisle, but I go, hey, just two choices. You know. And I've lost 15 pounds by using Just Do Choices, by doing that very same thing. And I'm going for 20, about another 5 to go. And
good for you. I've got Well, before you go any further, how is the best way for people to get in touch with you, and where can they find your books?
Well, you're very kind. I appreciate the thought. JustDoChoices.com, JustJust2Choices.com. And I would just like to say, just get started. There's a free download that downloads the welcome that explains everything, and chapter one that explains everything. You learn everything in chapter one, from how the Apollo 11 landed on the moon, to how NASA uses Just Two Choices, to how you can use Just Two Choices for extraordinary customer service, for how you can use Just Two Choices to your health, your finances, just in the welcome and the chapter one. So just go download that. Off the, if you'd like to get started immediately, just download that for free, and you'll have the whole philosophy right there in front of you. And you know, just get started making that happen. And since we're talking about spirituality, David, you know, I got to thinking one day, it's going like, well, how do the saints get to be saints? How did Mother Teresa get to be Mother Teresa? Well, you look at it, just two choices: saints and mystics, and you know, people like Mother Teresa are the way they are because they made the choice consistently. They never, you think about all the bazillions of choices we make throughout our, you know, throughout the day or throughout the year or week or whatever. You know, Mother Teresa and the saints and mystics, they don't let that other choice of what they don't want, in Abraham language, they don't let that other choice of what they don't want slip in, you know, where the rest of us, you know, we might let that stuff in 40% of the time. Or 60% of the time, or you know, depending on the topic, it could be 80% of the time if it's something that we haven't turned around yet. But you know, saints are saints because they keep their attention on what they want, their attention on source, their attention on the divinity of the spirituality of who they are. So, you know, it's how do you feel about something like that with regards to spirituality? Because I know you. We talked about that. You talk about your show, we're spiritual beings having that, you know, a physical experience. Is there something that comes to mind to you?
Well, you know, my spirituality has evolved so much over the years. It's changed tremendously from what it used to be.
Uh-huh.
Now it's much more experiential. It used to be very intellectual. And to me, it really is a matter of just, I guess, you are illuminating me to this choice thing, and I wasn't even aware that I was making that choice each day. But
yeah.
I choose to live in a place of positivity, and that raises my spirit. I believe we're all body, mind, and spirit, and that spirit is the most important of those things, and that if my spirit is out of whack, then I'm going to be out of whack in some other way, too. I'm going to stop taking care of my body. I'm going to be feeling down and out. I'm going to be feeding my wrong messages. And so it's very important for me to take care of my spiritual nourishment. And, you know, the show is one of the ways that I do that. But, you know, it's the way I lead my life. I practice that attitude, gratitude, that choice of appreciating. I think that is the most important aspect of keeping my level of vibration up. And, you know, I learned so much from Esther Hicks, and all of it to me was spirituality, and it was like light bulbs going off all over the place. I mean, there wasn't a thing that she said that I couldn't find to be true. You know?
Right.
And a lot of it was new to me, but it all made sense to me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what you used the other word. You said experiential versus, what was the other thought? Versus academic notes. Versus intellectual. Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah, versus academic almost. Okay, yeah, I read about it. I read about it and I got an A on the test because I can answer the question about it. But, you know, that's not what really teaches in life. I agree with you. It's the experience, I think, that really teaches, which goes back to the practice of what you talked about. Is that correct? Is that how you're saying it?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
No question.
Wow, that's a great.
And, you know, I was going to ask you, and you answered it, but I was going to ask you about what you meant by life being a seamless sequence of choices. But you were talking about that when you were talking about examples like Mother Teresa, that they were consistent.
Right.
And I think that's what you mean by that, right?
Yes, no, that's exactly it. And I think when you talk about it, I'm kind of smiling because I'm really glad you highlighted that. You're right. For them, it's a seamless sequence of being connected to the divine. Because when you think about it, every moment there are just two choices. Rich people can choose to be poor. Poor people can choose to be rich. I mean, when you think about it, we all have that just two choices. But, you know, when you're looking at that level of play, that, you know, that tournament level of life, let's call it, you know, that professional level. When I say professional, I mean in a humorous sense, you know, at being a saint like that, you're right. It's a seamless sequence of always being connected, choosing a divinity over something less than divinity, you know, than source.
Right.
So,
well,
yeah.
You know, I close my show with a statement that sums that right up. I say, we're all spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. You know,
right.
We have to let it be. We have to make that choice. We have to surrender our ego shit to our spiritual sustenance.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's amazing what can happen when we do that.
Yeah, I like that.
Well,
yeah.
We've just got a couple minutes left. Is there anything else that you'd like to say that we haven't covered? Because we will need to close soon.
Oh, sure. The only other thing, I just like to go back and just reemphasize that one particular two things. First, I choose to tell my new story, and I choose to appreciate. Just those three phrases, and, you know, just saying I choose to is just going to awaken that. You know, the choice will awaken, so to speak, the choice awakens. And the other part is that just for all of us to remember, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but it's an age-old saying, but it's just so right on the money. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but we can't make it drink. When we're trying to help other people, as much as we're trying so hard, new and better choices, there's a point that even that if they don't make that choice, that we, it's just what we can't climb inside their bodies and do that. And I think that's something that is sometimes frustrating to people who are trying to help other people, you know. To me, it just kind of helps me to keep it in perspective that maybe not now they're going to make that choice, but we'll continue to give the opportunity for them to make a new and better choice in the future. So if they don't do it now, you know, then I'm still going to be there to support them, you know, for later. In fact, that's an interesting comment, too. Sometimes you hear people say in business, if not now, then when? You know, if you're not going to make that choice for new and better to tell that new story, then when are you going to make that choice? You know? Tomorrow.
When is a much better word than if? If is the longest word in the dictionary.
I like that.
I heard that said years ago. Oh boy, and that is so true. Yeah, and woulda, shoulda, coulda. You know, we got to get rid of that stuff. We really need to watch our language, watch our thoughts. You need to choose to do that each step of the way. And I really thank you for being with us.
No, thank you. I've really had a high vibe fun. Thank you, David. Blessings to you for all you're doing.
All right. Well, you take good care, Rico.
Okay, David.
So once
And
once again, we come to a close. Let's take some time to pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience when we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, Rico.
Good night, David. Thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome. Good night, and God bless everyone.
Yeah, God bless.